Within football, we have silos.
When we talk about hiring the man first, the coach second, I think he is an unbelievable person.
Every single person in this locker room right now is playing professional football.
Aaron get COVID, and the week, they're like, yeah, you starting. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Just here to tell you, Pack is back.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Giannis.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, our own Packers Podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Todd.
Hello.
And the Green Bay Packers have lost to the Detroit Lions, very sadly, 24-14 on Sunday. We're a day behind, but whatever, the Packers are 6-3. Not great, Bob. Probably the most frustrated I have been watching a Packer game since we lost to the Lions in 2022, the win you're in game. We had bad games last year when we were shitty, but now we felt good about the team and just all the fucking stubbing our toe over and over again. We were texting each other more than normal during the game.
Yeah.
Not happy.
It's a tough game, and it's really weird that the way it's played out, and I feel like this is the way it's kind of played out for the Lions, but they're like a disciplined, tough team that runs the ball. But like, we had 411 yards to their 261, and like the scoreboard does not reflect that, mm-hmm. right? Obviously, you have the pick six, which is huge, but it's like in certain facets, we outperform them somewhat consistently. But man, like you said, shot ourselves in the foot in the most inopportune times. The drops, the penalties, like just undisciplined football. And it was like, I think for me, it's like the frustrating part is like when you know the team is capable of more, like when we're just getting dominated, you talk about where we were maybe this time last year, whatever that, I'm trying to remember what game we lost to the Broncos. I just was like, we just suck. Like that was the feeling that I had.
Broncos, Raiders, there was a couple, the Viking game was awful too. Yeah.
Yeah, even like losing to Atlanta earlier, like, oh, we might just be bad. Like Jordan Love might be bad. And I think I even said like maybe it's time to like get a draft pick. Draft quarterback.
But yeah.
The tough thing is when you have a team that like has all the potential and they just make these stupid mistakes, and like that's the most frustrating thing, like to your point. Like that's what's frustrating.
It's the bad thing, but it's also the good thing, because obviously it sucked, and I run more optimistic. I was mad at the time. I'm still not happy that we won, but to be 6-3 and to play probably the best team in football and to lose by 10 points with how shitty we played, just the pick six, the penalties, the drop balls, Jair and Evan Williams were out, which, whatever. I mean, the Lions were without their best defensive player in Hutchinson. Not great. For me, this also might have been a real turning point for my fandom, at least in this moment. Because I think I hate the Lions more than I hate the Vikings right now. And I have always hated the Vikings more than any other team. The Vikings are just kind of a cute franchise right now. They won last week when they played like shit. That tackle that they traded for played fine, whatever. But they're not going to be a real threat. It's still fucking Sam Darnold as their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The coach is fine. I think Kwesi's awful. But the Lions, it's just they're good, and the players that they have are pretty hateable after this game with Amon-Ra doing his shit, walking into the stadium. I'm sure we'd love it if we were Lions fans, but Green Bay sucks. Run around the stadium, and then obviously Branch with the late hit on Bo Melton. I forgot who the lineman was who was like twisting Jordan Love's leg as he was going down on that one play. It's like there's enough there.
Do you
now,
see the people saying that that's Bounty Gate? Because Campbell was in
with the Saints,
the locker
back
room.
Then.
I was like, oh, that's interesting. It doesn't seem like something he would do, and it seems like that would get uncovered pretty quick today.
But that's
I thought it was kind of funny. That was a dirty play to twist an ankle.
It's the internet overreacting. If there were several plays like the Vikings or the Saints in the NFC Championship game, sure. But there was one
shot
of
a targeting play.
So okay, so we're literally talking about one play because both things happen on
multiple
that one
people,
play.
Multiple.
Ah, very, very good point. Yes. But yes, on this episode, we'll talk about the offense, defense, take news. We'll talk about the Smith brothers getting traded. Yes, both of them, Z2, and but obviously our sweet Preston, our paunch boy. He's probably going to have to try to lose that little paunch that he has now because he's going back to a 3-4 with the Steelers. We'll also talk about take news. We are going to get into Ken Ingles, the salary cap guy. He's just really gotten me pissed off this week. We'll talk about the gold package. We'll see. I tweeted it out there too if you saw it, but we'll talk about the gold package. And I don't know. We don't have as much to talk about this week because we don't have a game next week, and Todd is going to have to host for our bi-week bonanza. Mm-hmm. I'm sure all the fans have been looking.
Everyone's excited.
That.
I get so many tweets, emails. Yeah. People are sending me boomerangs. It's been crazy.
Boomerangs? Is that a social media?
I don't think. Now that we're talking about it, probably not. I think it's a video type.
I remember Boomerang, I think it was like Cartoon Network when they showed like old cartoons back in the day. I think it was called Boomerang.
That might be true.
Like Rocky and Bullwinkle.
From The Office, what is, was it Ryan the intern? He has like this thing that he creates from The Office where he's like, oh, I'll splat you. And it's like all these different,
it's like
all the social
like
media
something
all together.
Dog related. God damn it.
I'll look it up
woof.
For you.
It might be Woof.
Oh, that actually sounds.
I could be wrong, but either way, I'll get into the game. The Packers once again lost 24-14 at Lambeau. Starting things off with Jordan Love. You know, it's up and down game again. 23-39, 273 yards, no touchdowns, the one pick. The pick six, I would say, is worse than the pick six against the Rams. Possibly the worst play of his career. Just dumb to be in the middle, like midfield, and to throw it into that congestion area. He said he didn't see the guy. It's like, sure, whatever. You probably shouldn't be making that play anyways. It reminded me of getting frustrated. Where I'm like, hey, I got to learn. I got to learn from how I'm watching football. Because in 2018, getting frustrated with Aaron Rodgers just always throwing the ball out of bounds or grounding it, or even 2022 at times where he would just live for another play. We need Jordan to live for another play, another down at this point with some of these fucking balls that he's thrown around. I don't know. Are you still, you know, we talk about it just about every week, but are you concerned with the decision making? Do you think we'll be better? It was just the one really bad one this week. I think he's been almost worse at times with more consistent bad decisions. But when it was bad, bad this week.
So it's Woof,
WUPH.com. I'm a genius.
Woof.com. WUPHF.com. Anyways, am I concerned with the decision making? I'm concerned with when there's nothing there.
Yes.
Like you said, like living for another down. Like I'm a little bit concerned about that, but like it's an easy fix, right? It's like, dude, throw the ball away. Like that's all you have to do. And especially like in the two minute, that's gotta like be ingrained in his head of like throw it away. If it's not there, throw it away. Like it's just the smart thing to do. And like we've seen over the years, like hero ball is dangerous. Like that hero ball doesn't really get you to the Super Bowl.
We haven't seen a ton of hero ball from Rodgers, or we didn't of late. We wished he tried more of the hero ball, but I think it's like the levers pulled too far to hero ball rather than too conservative with the ball.
We saw hero ball for a few years. I want to say like 17, 18, 19, 20. We're like, I'm calling those hero ball years. I might be off a little bit there, but
you
like.
You sadly are, unfortunately.
But like him just zipping the ball to Adams over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. That was some hero ball shit. It just doesn't work. Like defenses beat it. They figure out what you're doing and they beat it. I don't know. It doesn't seem that hard. And then you get like his throw against the Niners to end the game in the championship or the, it wasn't the championship last year, was it? It was the divisional game.
Yeah.
Where he throws it across his body for a pick. It's like stuff like that. It's like, dude,
mm-hmm.
great option to just chuck it out of bounds. Mm-hmm. So long term, not worried about it. In the short term, yeah, it's like a concern. Like, fucking stop it.
Just stop it. What are you doing, man?
Stop doing that shit.
The other thing that I'm saying stop it about, Twitter. And I think I said it last week. People complaining about Jordan Love being out there when he's hurt. I understand, and there is this whole thing with the Malik Willis offense seems to be more efficient than the Jordan Love offense. Sure. But it's still, the ceiling is so much higher with Jordan Love. Maybe give him some more conservative play calls, sure. But Jesus, it's the same people every week that are like, why are we putting Jordan out there? We're risking further injury. He doesn't look right. And he plays the whole game. And sometimes, like, I think the game before this, who did we play before this? It wasn't Houston. It was Houston. He looked like to be laboring the ball a little bit. This game, I thought he looked fine for the most part. So I'm kind of over that, too. The bye week now, hopefully he can rest up and look even better when we're going up against the Bears, you know?
Yeah, I don't have... I mean, I still want Jordan Love out there. I think the offense just... I get it. The offense is great. I've said it plenty of times. I love watching Malik Willis go out there. Like, I think it's just fun. I love it. But, like, going up against the Lions, like, we're going to... This is kind of like a playoff game. It's, like, feels like a playoff game for us. And it's like, hey, I don't really want Malik Willis out there. Love him. But, like, I want somebody who can beat you in every way. Right. And that's, and Malik has thrown the ball great. So it's like tough. I'm not ragging on Malik, but like, I want Jordan Love out there as a starting quarterback. I'm not saying like, oh yeah, put, I mean, if he can go, I want him to go. I want him to look a little better in the injury column. Right. Like, we all want him to be healthy, but I don't know. What are you going to do? It's a lose, lose. Twitter hates everything.
It does raise the question a little bit. Not the question, but I mean, the Lions really didn't do anything phenomenal in this game. They just played mistake-free football. They let the Packers make mistakes, and that's what we're running into on offense for the
most
part.
Just same thing the Vikings did. They just didn't make mistakes, and we made plenty.
Moving on to the running backs. Josh Jacobs, man, 13 carries, 95 yards. He had the long of 37. He also had a couple catches for 13 yards. Man, it's again, I mean, I love Aaron Jones. I still wish Aaron Jones was on this team, but God, you could not have much of a better replacement. He's, and this is, again, just stupid Packer fan brain dumb talk, but I'm like, he's a nice little mix of Eddie Lacy and Aaron Jones. Like, even early on in this game too, he gets outside and you're like, oh, but he doesn't move super fast, but he's still getting like fucking 15 chunk yards and shit. He's just very consistently moving the ball forward. And again, this game, it just sucks that we had to get away from the run. We probably should have stuck with it a little bit more.
Right.
But he is just the perfect motor for this offense, especially he's consistent when Jordan Love has been pretty inconsistent to this point.
Yeah, it was tough that, you know, with the turning point of kind of the where the pick six happens, you see us kind of get away from the run. And I think, I mean, how many yards did he have in the first half? Was it like... It was like 80.
Yeah, I was going to say it was at least 60. But yeah, I think you're right. It might have been 80 something.
It was a lot of yards in the first half, and it was like working really well against a team that I thought, weren't they pretty? Aren't the Lions pretty good against the run?
Yeah, I believe they were top 10.
Yeah, it would have been nice to ride that wave and then just like have Love just be efficient where he needs to be. But obviously that didn't happen with the pick six. And I understand why you get away from it. But at the same time, it's like you got a whole second half left. I feel like if we had leaned on Jacobs a little bit more, like he, especially in the second half too, we've seen him like really break off chunks lately, which, I mean, those change games. So.
And then also we had Chris Brooks and Emmanuel Wilson again. I mean, Emmanuel Wilson had 4 for 28. Brooks had 2 for 13, both pretty decent yards per carry there. But Brooks did outsnap Emmanuel. We're going to run into something goofy here. And again, this is very, very important. But the third running back on the roster, when Marshawn Lloyd, if we do activate him and bring him back to the 53, what do you do at this point? Do you cut Chris Brooks? Do you cut Emmanuel Wilson? It's pretty tough, especially when Brooks has been outsnapping him, it feels like, the last couple of weeks. And if not outsnapping him the week before last, he's in there for those more important situations, you know, like the 2-minute offense and everything. So I wouldn't be shocked if we just redshirt Lloyd, revert him back to IR full time, and we just roll with this the rest of the
year. Can you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. You
can just throw him on the IR. Even what if he's healthy?
I believe it's fine. I think with the team, they would just say, you know, he wouldn't pass the physical, whatever, but they could just still do that anyways. I'm pretty sure as long as they just don't activate him after his time where he has to start practicing starts, which should be coming up pretty quick here. I should have looked into that, but I don't know. It will be interesting, especially now. I mean, he's a rookie coming in cold.
Is he practicing?
I don't believe so. No, he has not practiced yet.
He's got to be at the end of the window because he went out way early.
Well, it's four weeks that you're out for sure. And then
it's like 3 weeks to practice.
Right. So it might be this next week that they have to make that decision. But either way, I mean, I wonder if...
What would you do if you had to cut one? Who are you cutting?
I don't know. It's pretty tough. I'd probably cut Brooks just because I feel like he is more likely to be able to stick on the practice squad. You know, Emmanuel Lewis,
that's a good point. Or
Wilson has just been in the league a little bit more, and there was a little tiny bit of hype in the offseason about him for how much the Packers liked him. But both of them are just such well-rounded backs. You can't really go wrong. And once again, I mean, I feel like, you know, it's me saying it, but I'm so happy that A.J. Dillon isn't on this team because these two guys are just so much more consistent. Every time A.J. Dillon would get the ball, I'm like, that sucked. These guys, very rarely do I look at the TV and go, that sucked.
Except for when Chris Brooks dropped the touchdown pass.
Oh, God, that was the weirdest drop ever, that too. Sucked. That was like magic because he ran and you couldn't see the ball. I'm like,
I think
everyone at home was celebrating and we're like, why isn't he celebrating? It's like, oh, he didn't have a football with him.
Obviously, my keen football eyes saw it, but my kids were like, what's going on?
I like how you pointed for the viewers at home. He pointed at his eyes when he did that. Yeah, perfect. That's
keen eyes.
Moving on to the wideouts. Do we start with good or do we start with bad?
Bad.
Okay, Dontayvion Wicks. Man,
that's crazy.
I love him so much. He's so good. He's so good without the football in the air. You know,
is he just Percy Harvin?
I don't know, because Steno, and maybe this is just coach speak, but he said he has the best hands on the team, and it wasn't really much of an issue last year. But at this point, I think...
You can't really say that right now.
I think he's catching like a third of his targets. It's just unbelievable. And the drop in the end zone, I mean, it was behind him a little bit, but still, you got to catch that ball. There was another one along the sideline that he didn't catch. Not good. It's getting to the point where... And it's just... It's the Matt LaFleur, you know, we have the soundbite at the beginning where he's like, you know, you hire the coach or the guy for the person first and the coach second. That's the way he feels about the players, too. It's like, I do think we have to start limiting some snaps to Dontayvion Wicks, or at least just punish guys when they fuck up on offense. Just roll out there with Reed, Dobbs, Watson, maybe for the time being. If Watson drops a couple balls like he's, you know, accustomed to at times, put Wicks out there, just figure it out. I know they like coming up with these game plans and specific plays for specific players, but I think it's getting to that point where maybe we're having these drop issues because these wideouts aren't getting into the flow of the game and they're just coming in cold and it's like, oh shit, here's a fucking rocket ball to me in the end zone behind me. I don't know. I'm a dumb idiot, but maybe that's something there. I don't know. I was kind of all over the place, Todd. What do you have to say?
We talked a little bit about this too, and I think it does. I think something has to change, whether it's, hey, if you guys aren't going to catch the ball, you're going to sit, somebody else is going to go in. Like, something has to change. And I don't, like, I get, it's a super common thing. You want to keep your wideouts fresh. They cycle in and out of the game a lot. But like, dude, if you're going to fucking drop everything we throw at you, like, you're not going on the field, or we're not going to design them to throw at you until you start catching these balls. Like, I don't know what it is, but there needs to be some sort of like a consequence for this, because it's like, it feels like, if let's say this is true and he does have great hands, well, then their concentration drops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, dude, you got to figure it out. Like, we can't figure it out for you. Like, I don't know what the answer is, but like, something has to change. And it's like along the same lines with these stupid freaking false start penalties.
Yeah.
If you don't know the call, fucking figure it out. Ask the guy next to you. I don't care. Whatever you got to do. Like, it's the dumbest shit. And I really do believe it comes down to coaching. Mm. I don't know who, but somebody has to be accountable for this. And Matt's at the top. Spencer, you don't agree with me on this one, but I do think like the dumb discipline things are a reflection of coaching.
I'm not saying
Matt's the guy, but somebody is responsible.
I get that, but it's like, what do you do? Do you threaten him? Do you pull fucking Sean Ryan if he gets a false start, or what? Because it's like it's the most basic thing, getting off the line. Like, just look at the fucking center if you need to. Like, I don't just quit. The other talk too. Someone in the media asked LaFleur about this, but it's like, is this the time now to stop with the hard count? Because I think that's also partly why we feel better about the Malik Willis offense at times, because he doesn't go out there and fuck around all that much. He might do like one hard count and then maybe go to a can play. Jordan will go out there and fuck around a little bit too much, and I wonder if that's messing up the offensive line too, for they're not so sure when they should get off the line because Jordan's...
Do you think maybe it's a Jordan Love issue?
I have no... At this point, it's like, we keep having these issues. I need to come up with more reasons why we're having these issues.
I can see it. Although the complexity, I do feel like, is what makes Jordan Love better.
I mean, his hard count, when it's on, it's fucking awesome. What was it? Was it against the Cardinals? He had like fucking three of them.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Christian Watson, I mean, he was okay. That deep ball that he could not track. Ugh, I got in an argument on Twitter with his brother.
Oh, that's right.
I understand. It's your brother, you're sensitive to the topic. But he tweeted something like, this week all they're going to talk about is my brother not being able to adjust to that ball. I'm like, dude.
Yeah, he was like, essentially like, watch, this week all they're going to talk about is the drop or the...
I'm like, dude, Jordan Love had the worst pick six I think I've ever seen. You know, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Wicks, who actually dropped a touchdown. Like, yeah, your brother is going to get mentioned, but no, like, he was implying that they were going to, like, you know, say we lost the game because of Christian. It's like, no, dude, it was actually, he mistimed that one. There was another one he wasn't great with. He did have quite a few targets, but I thought he was pretty solid overall. He was one of the last things I was worried about with the offense.
There was actually a pick six that played way more into the game than Christian Watson not being able to track that ball deep in double coverage.
Yeah, yeah, dumb. Jaden Reed also, he had 5 receptions, 113 yards, that long of 41, which was very cool. He now has 100 career receptions, second most for a Packer in their first 25 games, only behind Sterling Sharp. And that was a stat from Aaron Nagler that he put out on Twitter. But yeah, Bo Melton getting hit in the head. He had the one nice catch, Branch getting thrown out of the game. I was fine with it. I hate the dialogue on Twitter when they just show one replay from like the back and it's in slow-mo and they're like, oh, come on, he hit him. It's like watching live. It looked pretty bad to me. And it's like, if someone is going to get ejected for head-to-head contact and targeting or whatever, leading with your head, it's like, I feel like that was the prime example of it's going to happen, that is what it looks like.
I think, yeah, for me, I just have my own opinion where I'm like, you shouldn't get ejected from the game.
You just have your own opinion. Okay.
I have my own opinion.
Yeah, that's fair.
But that was definitely, like, I was definitely targeting. It's one thing when the ball carrier or the runner, like, lowers their head or moves. But, like, dude, he was in the air. He didn't do anything different. And you came in with your head down and, like, crown of the helmet, right? We used to talk about that all the time. Fucking right in his face.
Tom Brady was one of the bad about ones. It. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I feel like
What are the rules for ejection though? I thought you had to do it. I thought you needed 2 personal fouls to get ejected.
Well, that's part of it too, because I'm still not quite sure what happened. Because I heard that New York buzzed in and they were like, throw him out.
Yeah,
he's a bad boy. Throw him out. But then it's also personal foul, late hit. But then also personal foul because he like said something to the ref and he gave
but
like
as he was getting kicked out, he got the personal foul
with the Birds. And then it's like if he had 2 personal fouls, that's also a reason to get ejected because we've had that happen.
But he only had 2. He got the personal foul after he was ejected. The second one.
But it's a personal foul. Unnecessary roughness.
And I thought it's just 2 personal fouls.
See, I don't know.
That's you can get ejected for that.
It's still
which also
yeah,
dumb.
We're saying the same thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think you should get ejected for multiple personal fouls. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, I don't know. I'm like the Bad Boys of like the early 2000s. Like, I'm trying to think of like defenders.
John Lynch.
Yeah, like guys that just like
Dawkins
would Ryan have gotten
Troy Polamalu. I always felt like he was a
Troy
gentle
Polamalu
soul, though.
Personal foul guy?
No, but no. His hair, he made it look.
Terrell Suggs, I feel like, probably said some stuff.
BJ Sanders.
To get him in trouble.
Oh, I'm thinking of like just hits.
I'm just saying like guys who were like had an attitude.
When you
personal
talk about
foul,
like
guys.
Older players like this, are you imagining the highlights in slow-mo like
yes,
on a VHS?
That's all I can think of is like the hits. Yeah. Is like that's what I see in my head. Who was the Lions guy who was kind of dirty? Wore the red eye, the red contacts? Who were the
God.
Lions?
I vaguely remember that, but no.
Vander Esch?
Oh, I think you're right.
Was that
yeah,
his name? Was it,
popped around.
Was it Leighton Vander Esch?
It's something like that. It's something like whatever Swedish, whatever European sounding. Tight ends.
Leighton Vander Esch was the Cowboys.
It's something
what
like
it?
That, though. It's something.
I'll
yeah.
find it.
This is very important. Tight end. I mean, Tucker Kraft. Again, Tucker Kraft. I love Tucker Kraft. He had the drop. The drop was quite bad. So with like 5 minutes left in the first half, Packers are driving 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 6. Right in his mitts, would have had the first down, drops it. Next play, Brandon McManus misses the field goal, inclement weather, not great. And then the Lions march down, kick a field goal. Packers get the ball back. Jordan throws the pick six. Completely different game after that. So if Tucker catches that ball, who knows, you know, the fucking butterfly effect, what would have happened there. But also the direct snap on the fourth down, still love it. Second time doing that this year. It was also funny, Ryan Wood asked Goody this week because he had his annual in-season presser. He was like, hey, when you guys were scouting Tucker, did you look at his tape from 8-man high school football from when he played quarterback and looked for any of his under-center play? And Goody's like, no, we did not do that. If anyone tells you that they did that here, they're lying to you because I read the papers and he did not. And I'm like, it's funny too because you can see Matt LaFleur is getting testy with Ryan Wood as well, asking all these fucking stupid questions. Well, rightfully so, some Jordan Love interception questions, but it's funny to see him actually push back at Ryan consistently now. But yeah, Tucker, I love the sneak thing. We have to come up with a good nickname for it. I don't think there's any good ones. And again, I said it before, but I'm looking forward to when they're going to snap it between his legs as well to Jordan, and then he does something goofy with it.
I, for the life of me, cannot find who that Lions...
Is it Vander Esch?
There's a V in there. I found Van Noy, but that's not who it is. Van Noy was the one who went to the Patriots. Or is a Patriots guy.
I guess we'll never know. Maybe if we don't come up with it by the end of this podcast episode, someone please comment. Maybe there's several people driving.
Vandenbosch.
Vandenbosch. Yeah, that's not what it was. Not Esch. Bosch.
Kyle Vandenbosch. God. Okay. What were we talking about?
Tucker Kraft. I don't know if we have anything else to talk about with Tucker Kraft or the tight ends.
Other than just we love our sweet boy Tucker so much.
Yeah, he just needs
it's
to
catch okay
the ball.
It's okay that he dropped that ball. We all make mistakes, Tucker.
Yeah.
We'll see in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and Matt LaFleur did confirm this week, too, that Luke Musgrave had surgery on his ankle. Again, he was just saying how he was in disbelief that he was playing through it. And he would not confirm if we'll see him play again for the Packers this year. So something to monitor. It might be the Ben Sims show here on out.
Ben's done a great job.
Yeah. Ben is the perfect, like, know your role. He knows his role.
He's
have
huge.
One, you know, reception maybe.
He's like 6'9".
And then that's about it. Moving on to the offensive line. I unplugged my headphones, so I can't hear what Todd's saying right now, and I'm trying to plug it in, so I'm just going to keep talking. Offensive line went from left to right, Walker, Jordan Morgan, Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom. A little surprising that Jordan Morgan played left guard and not right guard as the rookie. You would have thought you would keep him there. And then Elton, a lot of people, I think Tausch said this too, that he believes Elton Jenkins will be our center next year. If he's going to be our center next year,
what do you think about those?
He better figure out how to snap the ball better than what he was doing on Sunday.
Yeah, that was putting those putting a handful of those in the dirt was not ideal. I think we wound up with what, two fumbles off of that?
He was fine all game, and I swear to God, it was like 3 out of 4 plays. He just he was sending them low.
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you do? That is a good point. Gave up 0 sacks, averaged 6 yards per carry as a team. So overall, the offensive line did well. And the thing, back to the Elton snaps, this is what pissed me off. I hate myself. I fucking hate myself. Twitter, multiple guys were tweeting like, after the bad snaps, wow, Josh Myers appreciation tweet. Oh man, we really don't value Josh Myers enough. It's like the ceiling, what you want from your center, snapping shouldn't be an issue. Like, don't tell me Josh Myers is good because he can snap the football. You know, like that is the minimum requirement. It doesn't make him a good football player. We don't have to appreciate him for that. So don't give me that shit. We do get on him too much, but my God, like, the bar is much higher than snapping the ball competently.
I don't know.
Then I was also pissed. Back to me. I was also pissed. These fucking, the false starts. So Sean Ryan gets one where he just kind of moves his head a little bit. And then we try to get a false start. They call encroachment on us when their left tackle did the same fucking thing. And we got called for it multiple times last year. I think it was against the Broncos and it happened against the Falcons, where Myers or maybe Sean Wright, it happened to a couple guys on the offensive line where you just move your head and we get a false start. The lines do it and it was fine. Well,
the weird one
that upset me
is when Elton got called for it for lifting his head up.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I'm just like, but the center has to do that. He has to look for, he doesn't have to, but like most of the time what you do on like a silent count is you look at the QB to make sure he's ready and he's giving you some sort of signal and then you snap the ball, but you have to look up first and that happens all the time. And we've gotten, I think, I don't know. It's just consistency is all we want from the refs.
Yes. And I think on Fox, they said the way the rule is written is like the movement has to be deliberate and like clean or something.
It's like to force so them. Vague. It's like you're trying to force them to jump offsides.
What the fuck does that mean?
Because there was a couple years where it was aggressive.
True. Yeah, that's fair. But it's like you have to come up with something more concrete to keep it consistent for all these different crews and the way that they're officiating. I think that's all I had for the offense. Yeah, that's all we got for the offense. With that, we will have a quick commercial break. All right, and we are back with the defense. The defense, it wasn't their problem. I mean, what, 24 points? They only allowed 17. Again, Packers had 411 yards. The Lions only had 261. Not the defense's fault. We did not force any turnovers in this game. Again, the Lions just played mistake-free football. The pass rush, though, I guess kind of an up-and-down game. We did have the half sack from Aaron Mosby and Rashawn Gary, which was, it was funny to see them both celebrate at like the same time in different areas because I think they both thought they had the full sack. But I don't know. Pass rush still wasn't good, but I texted you. It was like the fourth time it happened, because anytime it was third and long or third and medium, we would blitz. Jared Goff would look around. He'd run out of time and he'd throw the ball into the dirt. I swear to God, it happened 4 times in a row. And it's like, we didn't really have to, or they weren't in a lot of passing situations, I guess, because they were trying to run out the ball. But man, especially in that weather, I wish we could have gotten at Jared Goff a little bit more.
Yeah, anytime it looked like we were bringing pressure, anytime we brought an extra guy, even if the guy wasn't getting home, even if he was fully blocked, it was interesting that Jared would like recognize that and just like rip it into the dirt or like throw it out of bounds. It was like, huh. Like, man, like interesting. Like, I wonder too, like, is it easier for us to see certain things than it is for people to see like D corners just seeing the box? Cause I'm like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, like he was scared. He was scared of the rush and he just ripped it. And it's like, and the pressure wasn't even there. So it's like, dude, if you can apply that pressure and make a quarterback get the yips and just like want to throw it away, like get that clock in his head moving a little faster without even hitting him. That's a super powerful like move for the defense to put on somebody, like if they can force that. But I mean, again, I mean, the defense played fine. It's not their fault. This loss is not on the defense at all. And that running attack was really good. I was actually somewhat fine with how our run defense did, like against that rushing attack. Like I thought we did perfectly fine.
Yeah. And I mean, again, I mean, it's just one of those things where I'm sure Halfley saw it and it's a clear passing situations. They knew to just bring the heat a little bit. And yeah, the run game, the Packers were pretty good holding guys up too. David Montgomery, 17 carries, 73 yards, a 4.3 average. Jahmyr Gibbs had 11 for 65 of 5.9. But overall, as a team, it was still, I guess that's not very fair. The team average is 3.9 rushing, but that's because Khalif Raymond had that one rush for a negative 12.
Minus 12, yeah.
Which, that, again, I fucking hate the Lions. Like, they were up, what, 10 points or something at that point? Probably more than that.
Yeah.
And they'd run that trick play. I'm like, you dirty fucking dogs. That is what you get. I think it was second or third down. I'm like, and Xavier talked about it going into the week, how they try to clown you or they try to embarrass you. It's like, that was the perfect example of that, too. And I'm sure that's exactly what Ben Johnson was thinking when they dialed up that play.
I feel like this is what happens too when you get an offensive coordinator. Like this doesn't typically happen with an offensive coached team, like where the head coach is offensive. Like they don't really like allow like the trick plays and stuff like that, 'cause they're kind of dumb and gimmicky. And like, so head coaches don't really like them, but when offensive coordinators are just given the reins and the head coach is off with the defense, like, I feel like you see more of this. Granted, like a Doug Peterson is going to do shit like this too.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, when you see stuff like this, it's normally like, what is that offensive coordinator doing? And the head coach, by the time the head coach figures it out, they've already run, you know, they've already run the trick play. It's over. And it either was good or bad. But I don't know. I feel like that was like one thing that I was thinking when I was watching this is like, I don't feel like a head coach, an offensive head coach calls these stupid plays.
Yeah. And I, very happy JJ stayed home on that one to keep it from being stupid too. And then sticking with the run D2, man, Quay. I mean, it's every week. We can't linger on it, but I'm ready to move him to end. I'm ready for it. I just want,
maybe the Packers are ready to move him to end.
We'll see. Huh? They never say anything negative.
There's an opening.
Yeah. Well, that would be interesting because it is funny how Aaron Mosby or whatever gets his first sack. And then they're like, all right, well, Preston, I guess.
See you later.
We'll see. Yeah, this guy clearly knows what he's doing. So we're going to move on with that. But yeah, Quay, I mean, he loves getting sucked into blocks. He's always a little late on things. If you run straight at him, he's great. He's fantastic. And he'll bury you immediately. Like, he won't get dragged back a lot of the times. But it's just, it is, when it's bad, it is really bad watching Quay out there. Pass D, I don't know how much there is to talk about. It wasn't anything too crazy again. I mean, Amon-Ra had the 7 receptions for 56, Sam Laporta 2 for 28, and then Montgomery had 2 for 23. But again, 145 total passing yards, just a not a lot to write home about. It's Jared Goff.
I mean,
I feel like when we play him in Detroit, we're going to have him, but it just, I don't know. It's, you don't like losing to Jared Goff, and God, they're even chanting fucking Jared Goff at them. Apparently that's like a Detroit thing, like at Pistons games and
Jared Goff.
Yeah. Like Detroit sports, they chant Jared Goff, which is kind of funny because it's
that's kind of funny, but
he's not a very intimidating figure and they've played pretty well, but it's still just like Goff's the guy. All right. I guess Detroit hasn't had much to cheer for. You guys can have that.
Detroit is like, earlier you said that you kind of hate Detroit more than you hate like the Vikings or the Bears. I'm not there at all. I'm like, Detroit is like, you know, your little cousin who's like trying to like they have a good team right now, but like you haven't proven anything. Like until you can win a playoff game, like, all right, like this team's going to fall apart in December just like they do every freaking year. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's your cousin that like grew up and now he's got some issues going on and you don't want to be around him anymore. You know, like that, Because it was cute before, but
he's a little edgy. He's like, yeah. He's trying to be edgy, like around your aunts. You're like, okay, this is not the time or the place.
He hung out with the wrong group of kids, and now he's swearing at inopportune times, and it's socially a little weird. That's like, but then also he could beat you up because he's a big, strong cousin. I don't know.
Big strong man.
Yeah, big strong boy. It's like they're, you know, like their head coach. But okay, it's just in like Amon-Ra's face, like. He's a very easy guy to not like when he's being a meanie. I don't know. I just still don't like the Lions. Special
I just
teams,
don't even. They just like aren't real to me. Like I'm not scared of the Lions.
But
like
but
I was. I didn't. But we I could felt have said that, not great about the game. But like, they're just not intimidating.
But it's like 3 years where they've been good at this point. You know, it's just. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I still think they're gonna fall apart at the end here. But whatever.
Yeah. See.
Special teams, McManus missed that kick. That was a bummer. It was kind of a tough one, too, with the rain and the wind, and it was like 45 yards or something. So, whatever. He'll have better games. And I forgot who. Oh, Jaden Reed called that fucking fair catch with like 15 yards of grass in front of him. That every week, there's like a wrong decision on a punt return by either Keyshawn or Jaden Reed.
I'm dumb. They won two playoff games last year.
Yeah. I don't know
why I said that.
Wait, did you say they didn't win any playoff games? I did not.
I know
that.
I said like when you win a playoff game.
Oh.
But they did. And I was thinking about it. I was like, oh. I don't know. They just don't scare. Nothing about them is like intimidating to me.
Like they're like the highest scoring team in the NFL right now. They have a really, really good offensive coordinator.
Detroit's a dumb city. Sorry.
You know what I'm really worried about now? It. There's, I don't know if it's actual rumors. I don't remember who I saw it from. So Ben Johnson, the OC for the Lions, you know, he was like the number one coaching candidate last offseason. Apparently, allegedly, he wants to be the head coach of the Bears. That would be bad. If he got to be the head coach of the Bears and he had Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, whoever the fuck they're going to have.
DJ will be gone by then.
I don't know. I understand why he's upset with Shane Waldron as your offensive coordinator, but I guess he doesn't seem to like Caleb all that much either.
That's what I kind of think is that him and Caleb aren't really getting along.
Which
I could see Caleb clashing with a lot of people. He seems like somebody who...
That would be very
cool. He'll be fine as a veteran with younger guys, but like guys that are older than him, I can see them not liking him.
That is a good point, yeah. I wonder if that will turn into an issue, because yeah, you do see a couple little clips of him being a little bitch boy up at the podium, so maybe we'll see more of that. With that, take news.
Football time. Take news.
All right, take news for the week. I don't like myself sometimes. Sometimes I get upset with stupid things on social media. This is one of those weeks. Ken Ingles. Ken Ingles, the salary cap guy. If you don't know, you'll see it on his Twitter because it's part of like his fucking handle that he is the Packers salary cap guy because he does break down the salary cap. Mm-hmm. And hey, he's garnered a following doing it. It's been very, very helpful at times explaining things. But my God, and again, I'm sure he's a good guy. But fuck, do some people who just get a, not me, of course, but some people who get like a social media following just really, really, really hype themselves up about things. So there's a couple things this week with it. One, what spurred this on was like a month ago, out of nowhere, and I believe he deleted the tweet because I tried to find it to talk about on the podcast. Okay. He said that the Rasul Douglas trade was the correct move then, and it still is. To which I would say, fucking no. At no point have the Green Bay Packers have benefited from trading away Rasul Douglas. Tyron Hopper, who we got for the draft pick, again, we did not get a third round pick. We gave them a fifth and received a third, and we used that pick to draft Tyron Hopper, who has not played a single snap on defense so far this year. Rasul Douglas, I don't know if you know this, pretty good corner for the Buffalo Bills. I don't know if you know this, we kind of have a bit of a hole at corner right now, especially with Jair getting hurt. just admit that you're wrong. Just admit that you're wrong. That's all I want at some point. But again, I argued with him on my personal account this week because I'm a crazy person. And he still was just adamant that it was the right move at the time. And I'm like, no, no. Even on our playoff run, it would have been better if we had Rasul Douglas. I don't know. I mean, do you have, I assume you agree with me, right? You're a smart person like me.
We can never say never, but I'm not super high on Hopper. Just like after watching him a little bit in preseason, I think that that guy looks like a big project. Not to say he couldn't ever be good, and we haven't seen him play, but like, yeah, I would rather have Rasul on the team right now. Was Rasul, did we free up a bunch of money by moving Rasul? I don't think we did, right?
Not really. I think his cap hit would have been like $9 million, which, because Ken is a salary cap guy, he's like, oh my God, we got to get this off the books. But it's like, that's what you pay for a decent corner in the league. And we have $15 million in cap space right now. We did nothing at the trade deadline. It's like, we very easily could have carried this contract. And it would have been, again, in the last year too, I don't know if there was something that Goody wanted, which he talked about this week with Preston. But, you know, people moving on to a bigger role within the team and a leadership role. Maybe he wanted Jair to take that step. I don't know if you know this. Jair didn't really take a leadership step last year. He, in fact, kind of did the opposite by getting suspended by the team. But that wasn't really even the one that pissed me off. The one that pissed me off was Ken tweeting this. And this was after Jordan Love, I believe, threw his pick six. Ken Ingles on Twitter. Please stop sending me questions as to when the Packers can get out of Jordan Love's contract. So you see that and you're like, oh, Ken, poor Ken, salary cap guy. He's getting inundated with all these tweets from these dumb Packer fans. Because obviously, you know, if you're tweeting that, if, especially after just one play, you're like, oh my God, when do we move on from this guy? It's bad. It makes the fan base look bad. So me, I'm a crazy person. I'm like, you know what? How many people did tweet Ken that? So I search his handle. I search Love, Jordan, contract, out. One person, one single person during the game tweeted Ken asking when we could get out of Jordan Love's contract. To which
this
Ken,
is some good journalism.
To which Ken tweets out, please stop asking me when we can get out of the contract. So Ken went out of the way.
Maybe they're DMing him.
That would be, now that's an argument you could make, but I doubt it. So Ken went out of his way to say
this. Those are your DMs, Ken.
Went out of his way to say this. One, to garner engagement, because then after that, people blew up like, oh my God, what an embarrassing fan base. I can't believe we're doing that. Like a bunch of people quote tweeted and said, this is embarrassing that fans are doing this. And two, I believe he was doing it, I forgot what point two was.
Oh, was but it makes
for engagement is one. Two, it makes the fan base look bad because you're trying to say that fans are already like revolting against Jordan Love when it is not the case, and that's what pissed me off.
Yeah,
am I dumb for getting pissed about it?
I would never have looked into that. So I'm crazy. So does this mean Ken isn't coming on to talk about the cap this offseason?
No. Okay. We have SportTrack for that, and I can speak with a little bit of confidence with looking at contract stuff.
Okay. I guess if that's true and people indeed were not DMing him, then yeah, that's pretty dumb. It does make everybody look dumb too. And like, we don't need all fan bases have fans that make them look dumb, right? We don't need more artificial dumb fans. We don't need bot dumb fans to be created.
Yes. Like, we don't need to go out of our way to make shit up about us being dumb.
I say enough dumb stuff, and I'm a real person. We don't need bots saying dumb stuff, too.
The other thing which I thought was funny is he quote tweeted some radio show saying Green Bay is now 1-5 in their last six NFC North home games. Ken says, the last time there was a meaningful home game advantage at Lambeau Field, Brett Favre was slinging balls for Green Bay. And then Jason Wallers, who's like the VP of communications for the Packers, tweeted him and said, we are 99-33-2 at home since Favre left. A winning percentage of 0.746 that ranks number one in the league since 2008. Loved it. Retweet.
Slight correction.
Favorite. Yeah.
Slight correction.
Slight correction. You couldn't be more wrong. I mean,
I'd like to offer up this piece of information. We're actually number one. Yeah.
But yeah, again, Ken, smart guy, good guy. I'm sure. I hope. I don't know. I don't fucking know him.
Hey, Cap, if I don't have a spreadsheet like that, right? My spreadsheets don't look like that. They're not that good.
Oh, and the last thing he was wrong about, he kept saying for years, 2021 was going to be the last year we had Aaron Rodgers. And guess what? He and Andrew Brandt were incredibly wrong about that. They were so sure. They were so sure. And they were wrong. Next thing to talk about, probably should have led with this. The Packers, the trade deadline has come and gone. And what do you know, second year in a row, we were sellers at the deadline. But I think this one actually makes sense. Trading away Preston Smith to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 7th round pick. He met with the Steelers media today, and he said that he requested a trade a couple of weeks ago, which is a little surprising, I guess. But I guess that's also why those reports were out there that he was being shopped around, because Preston's agent was talking to the NFL insiders. It was like, hey, just so you know, Preston wants to get traded, and then it became more of a thing because everyone was talking about it a little bit more. Either way, he said that he wasn't as good of a fit in the defensive system. Very, very fair. Again, I mean, he had that little belly this year that grew on him. Maybe he can get rid of it now and he'll be a better speed edge for a 3-4 defense. But Todd, what did you think about the move? Do you wish we would have, you know, been a buyer at the end here? And God, are you sad to see Preston go?
I am sad to see Preston go. I think it's always fun to be a buyer. And like, especially as Packer fans, we never get to be buyers. I do always love, side note, the Mike McCarthy presser where
Bill
he's
Huber
like, oh, I thought it.
It
was next week. And then he's like, that's what it's like here. I guess the background, quick background is the reporters asking, what's it like on the trade deadline? And he goes, oh, I thought it was next week. And then like looks at the crowd kind of like dumb, like that Mike McCarthy look that he has sometimes. And then, and then he changes really quick and he goes, that's what it's like. And they all like, do they laugh? I feel like he kind of laughs a little bit.
I don't
bit,
remember. I saw the clip pop up a couple of times. I don't even watch it anymore because I just know what
I
goes.
I do love it though. I always watch it when I see it. And it's just like, because it's like funny. It's like one of the few times like Mike is like really funny in a presser. And like, it's like against his own team. Like he had to have taken heat for that in the front office. Like, oh, we don't do anything at the, like, we're not doing anything at the deadline. And like, yeah, anyways.
Yeah. That was when Ted Thompson was still the GM of the Packers, too, who was even less likely to make any type of moves.
Yeah.
Because it's still, what I look back on is we wanted to make a trade or pick up Stephon Gilmore 3 years ago. Okay. And everyone was pissed when we didn't. But that same day, and maybe it was just a week before, whatever it was, or a month before, but that same time is when we signed Rasul Douglas to the practice squad. It was a nothing move at the time. No one thought anything. And obviously, he turned into quite the player for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. But anyways, back to what I was saying is that I like to be buyers. It's always fun to be a buyer at the trade deadline. But when you look at like getting this off the books for a guy, and like,
yes,
like I said, love Preston, but like getting that dead money off the books that we would have had with Preston, because like we weren't going to keep him. Like, that's the thing is like, if you, and I'm like surprised too of like them taking that trade is like so interesting
well,
to me.
It's still dead money that we have. So we moved his contract around, but it's because we pushed his cap hits to, you know, upcoming years.
But don't those cap hits go away?
Those, the back end, we still get hit, but his salary will get paid by the Steelers. I think it's a cap, it's a savings of like $3 million for us. So it isn't huge, but again, this year or next year combined, I forget. I don't know if there was a huge, huge cap savings. There isn't a huge difference between trading him now and cutting him at the end of the season. But either way, getting a 7th round pick, saving a little bit of money still works.
There's this guy I follow who does Packers cap stuff.
Oh, really?
That I really like. It's just Ken.
Ken. Okay.
He tweeted, Green Bay Packers trade of Preston Smith will create, in 2024, $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
2025, $7.6 million.
Okay.
2026, $18.2 million. 2027, $1.6 million. So these are all creation of cap space. So, like, tell me if I'm wrong, but like, that seems to me like we moved all of that cap hit.
This conversation is bad for us because we're dummies. We don't know how it actually works. But at the same
time, Ken's not a dummy.
But if that's his base salary, that doesn't mean it would have been on the books for sure, because you could still move on for it. Like if that's his salary and you cut him, it's gone no matter what. I don't know what the
I get what you're saying.
Is what's important.
I get what you're saying. That's fair. Moving all of that, there was probably some dead money in there, right? Like that, there would have been dead money. So if we move that, create that space, I think that that's great for a guy who, like, no offense, I love him, but like, I also agree he was not a good fit. Like, it just wasn't this front four is not producing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine if we can move somebody and make space and make, especially like if Goody can go find somebody to grab with some of that cap space in the next 2 years, like it's worth it, right? Like if it's just totally worth it, especially if that 18 is there, and maybe, you know, granted, like you're saying, maybe that's not, but even if it's $6 million saved in year three, like, hey, that's money that you can spend to go get somebody at a position that's of need. So, and it does feel like big picture, like this is also kind of like a get right year as far as like you look at the team holistically, like in like money wise, cap wise, like I think I read too somewhere that we have like a quarter or a third of our dollars are spent on dead cap, which is like, even know how that, how does that work?
So Ken put out another tweet, It's something where he's like, I think he says 25% of next year's cap is dead money. And then he goes on to say, that means one in every $3 will be spent on players that aren't on the Packers. I'm like, Ken, and maybe I said that incorrectly there, I don't know, it's a little late. Can people know what percentages are and fractions are? You don't have to spell it out like we're fucking idiots and say the same thing twice. Anyways, whatever. Here we go. Trivia question. All right. I mean, you're not going to get it, but where do you think Preston Smith ranks for the Green Bay Packers all time on sacks?
12th.
Ooh, 11th. Way off.
That was pretty close.
But it's like, you doubted me. He was around here for like 5 years, and he was a very, very good. He was the perfect Packers signing. Got his second contract. Was very solid for us. I love Preston Smith. Kind of sad to see him go.
No, he was a great guy, and like not a problem like Za'Darius was. Right, a good segue point maybe.
Yeah. So Za'Darius being traded to the Detroit Lions. I forgot what the compensation was for it, but it was probably like a fifth round pick, I'd want to say.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Sixth.
But like, again, it feels like no news, because like, have you heard Z's name since he went to Cleveland?
He's been okay. He was pretty good for him last year. He's usually good first halves of years, and then he falls off at the end. But again, it just pisses me off because Ty Dune wrote that fucking piece 3 years ago. How he was going to the Vikings so he could play the Packers twice a year. Then he asks for his release from the Vikings or to get cut. He goes to the Browns. He's there for a year and a half, and they trade him too. It's like, huh. I guess the Packers weren't the problem, Z. And maybe you're just kind of a fucking asshole who's coming up with fake injuries and pissing off your team, your teammates, getting stupid captain chains. And it's like, so what is he going to do with Detroit now? He's going to be there for this year, and maybe they'll cut him after? He is a very good player at times, but I hope he slows down the stretch, which he seems to do anyways. Like he's a guy who doesn't seem to love football. He's a guy who loves money.
Oh, don't we all though?
Oh yeah,
I don't know. It doesn't feel like a guy like that kind of fits in with their team. They seem like a cohesive, like that's what Dan Campbell is like putting together like a cohesive group, and like Za'Darius doesn't feel like he fits in anywhere, like on any team. So it's like, this guy feels like a little bit of a cancer to your team.
I hope he ruins that locker room. Also, it's kind of funny. And if we're from there, hey, this is just a funny little gag, a funny little joke. Living situation, going from Cleveland to Detroit. That is
A+.
Not great. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Last couple, I don't know. We don't have a preview, so we got a couple other stupid things to talk about. Tell me if this is dumb. I don't even know if this is, I shouldn't even say this. So the Lions fans, the last couple of years, especially for the gold package, lot of visiting fans at Lambeau. Something I would like to see, and I tweeted this out here, I'm sure nobody cares, I wonder, one, if it's legal, two, if it's possible. The Green Bay Packers should make a website where you get verified Packer fans. I don't know how you do it. Maybe you would like have to do a fucking stupid interview or show a picture of yourself as a Packer. I don't know. Dumb. It's very dumb. I don't know how you prove it. But we got to keep tickets in the hands of Packer fans because we have so many season ticket holders, and a lot of them are old as shit. They don't go to every game, and they will sell their tickets if they can make some money. And when you sell tickets on Ticketmaster, where you're getting the most bang for your buck, you're probably selling to visiting teams. And it's getting to the point these years where, man, there's a lot of that Honolulu Blue at Lambeau every fucking year. It's, I don't know if you can do it. Do you think you can do it? Do you think that's a good move? Am I dumb?
I don't think you can do it. I think you can verify fandom, for one. Like, how would you do that? Right? Nobody, if you had to do an interview, nobody would be on that site. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that can't happen. Two, if other teams found out there was a secret site where you Packer fans
It couldn't be secret. It couldn't be secret.
They would flood it and they would buy all the tickets, and it would be even funnier for them to fill the stands with the opposing team's colors.
So this, yes, true. This was my thought.
Think if the Vikings did that, we would be like, I'm going to go on the secret website. Like,
so this is the other thing, and something that I hope Ed Policy, the new president, will implement. Make it, it's a dumb piece of paper anyways. Make ownership more important. What if owners had access to this market? You have that database. You know it's verified. They paid fucking $300 for a piece of paper. That should be something. And then you know it's staying with Packer fans. Again, I don't know how many actual owners there are at this point. But fucking open it up. Maybe you don't do a stock sale every other year. You can sell the stock. They can get on this website. Maybe there's some premium Packer fan page, and then you can buy tickets from Packer fans. You know, so it's just Packer fans at Lambeau. I think you could do it. I think I'm a genius. The more I'm thinking of it now,
I think that's a better way to do it. Is like if you almost had like just a list of people that you could like put it out there and be like, any of these people on this email chain can get your tickets, which that wouldn't work. Obviously you'd have to it'd be more sophisticated than that,
but just make your own little Ticketmaster that only owners can access.
But the thing is, like, you can't the people own that ticket, so they can sell it to whoever they want. So you're just like hoping that Packers fans are like not just going to take the highest bid.
Yes,
but I don't know if that's going
to
happen.
Hey, I like to think we got a little
maybe
more heart.
Maybe the gold package games are less important games instead of them being divisional opponents.
Well, we talked about that in the past too, how like
do they have to be good games?
Well, Bob Harlan would try to make suggestions to the NFL, like you can put in requests for the schedule, and Mark Murphy apparently doesn't do like any, because especially games that are like primetime games, if they're gold package games, they're more likely to sell them because people don't want to have to drive from Milwaukee back and forth, you know? So it's one of those things too. I don't know. Maybe I'll be
we just gotta be better about email. We just want Packer fans, if you own the tickets, come to the game. That fixes all of the problems. If True. You own tickets, go to the game.
But they're old.
There's so many people waiting for tickets. Like, I don't know. I get it. If you're a season ticket holder, you waited a long time, you deserve it. But like, if you're not going to the games, like maybe it's time to move on. Watching the game at home is great too.
Also true. Last thing we'll talk about before we get to the outro here. And I was hoping we were going to record this last night, but ran into some things, so we weren't able to. So AJ Dillon, I'm sure everyone saw, he went to a political rally. I will say this, if you go to a political rally, I think you're dumb. I think if you think these people actually care about you, I think you're wrong. Don't care which way you lean. They're all crooks, whatever. I admire AJ Dillon doing this. Not because he supported a political candidate. That's fucking dumb. But he finally did something that would upset fans. He's had such a squeaky clean image. Not saying this is like, oh my God, ugh. But it's like, it is something that you know people aren't going to like. And right. He did it. Like, he's never, but he went to that soccer game. And remember, he did like that Lambeau leap and that cop like grabbed him or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
he put out a statement like he didn't say anything negative about the cops. Like, he played it so down the middle where I was like, God, it's weird that he didn't say anything like he shouldn't have done that, blah, 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 yeah. Whatever. But he's never said anything that could potentially be upsetting outside of, you know, kind of blaming the offensive line when he wasn't running well. I was shocked to see him do that and lose fans probably in the process. I'm sure you have. This is a great talking
point. I mean, it's a good point that, like, he does play it pretty safe as far as, like, his media stuff. I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, anything. I mean, our outro, he does say to the fans, like, you can't do what we're doing. I mean, so maybe he's, like, maybe lately he's feeling more like, I'm just going to do whatever I want. Like, maybe he's getting to the point where he's like, oh, my, like, following isn't, like, huge. I'm just going to live my life. Like, dude, which I think is a better way to live your life. Honestly, true. Than fair. To just be like thinking about what other people think about you, like just go be yourself. Like, so I hopefully that's the trend. Like, hopefully we're going in that direction. He's just going to be him, right? You would like that more. You would like him more for that, right?
I want everyone to be authentic, and he just doesn't seem to be very authentic.
Maybe he's getting there. We're all growing.
It was funny too, because the candidate whose rally it was talked about him too. He's like, oh man.
Do it, yeah. Do it, the voice.
Get better soon, AJ. He's a real. God, he talked about. He's such
a
great.
Did he say something about his thighs too?
Yeah, he was like Quadzilla, and he said like he's such a good football player. He's a I forgot exactly how it described, but he's talking like one. AJ probably is going to play for the Packers again. Two, it's right. Like he's not a good football player, and he was like he's such a great. It's like no.
But
no,
also, you're not going to be like this guy's kind of bad at football.
He was a great role player. He probably should have played fullback. Yeah. God, I think that's all we have this week. Again, we don't have a review.
I have a stump Spenny.
Perfect. I was going to say stump Spenny's the next thing. We have the real last thing before reviews and everything. Come on, feed me. What am I again? Billy did reach out. Am I like five and?
Oh, I'll have to. I'll have to look while you're mulling this over. Okay, so the stump Spenny for the week is, according to a 2022 Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article by J.R. Radcliffe.
We're getting into it. J.R. is great. J.R. is great. He's very good.
Which former Packer has done the most Lambeau leaps?
It has to be Donald Driver.
It's not. Guess again.
Fuck. Antonio Freeman?
It's not.
Give me an era.
You want me to give you like a decade?
Yeah.
The 2010s.
2010s.
Super easy.
It's not Donald Driver. God, it's something dumb, huh? Is it Jordy?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like Donald Driver did it a lot.
When I think, 44 Jordy, fuck. Which is a lot. 44 is a lot.
Yes. That must be just about do all you, of them. God.
Do you want to guess on who the second one is? It's nobody you've guessed so far.
Okay. Thank you for saying that. Are you going to give me an era? Is it the same era?
Yeah, kind of.
So it's a little bit before. God, is it Greg Jennings?
Nope, it's a little bit after.
Cobb?
Nope.
God, it's not James Jones. It must be a running back. It's not Ryan Grant.
Nope.
It could be Aaron Jones. No, I don't think it sounds. Is it Aaron Jones?
No.
Oh, boy, this is bad. Who is it?
Devontae.
Oh, really?
With 42.
Huh.
So the wideouts love to get up. Those two love to get up in the stands.
They are taller than the running backs.
Pretty God, cool. Pretty cool that they've been up there that many times.
That is very cool. Yeah, because, God, Devontae. For some reason, Devontae just didn't pop up in my head for doing leaps. But, yeah, he was a good leaper. He didn't really celebrate in many other ways.
Right. That's exactly it. It's like, you do think about, like, in Jordy, too, like, it was clockwork for Jordy.
Yes, exactly. Where
skinny post, catch the ball, touchdown. He remember like the way he like chucks it over his head when he goes through the back of the end zone and then he's up in the stands. It's just like, how good did you feel like just watching Aaron Rodgers just cock back and knowing that skinny post is out there.
We've talked about it nauseam.
Those were the days.
Now I'm remembering it too, because I think Jordy and Devontae talked about like the technique to do the leap. Because if you imagine Jordy doing it now too, it's always the same thing where he goes up like you're getting out of a pool, pretty much.
Yep.
Jumps up, grabs it, and twists while you're doing it. He had it perfect. He knows to do that so that you don't get pulled back into the fans, because you know your rookies, they jump like head first and then they can't like get out.
They can't get away.
Grabbing them. You have to jump up and twist
and like
when you're
sit
doing
back.
It.
You have to like sit back into them.
Exactly, which Jordy was an absolute pro of. So, God, very, very good question this week, Billy. Fuck.
And I think you are 5-4. Well, now you're 5-5.
Yeah.
Let me pull it up here. Yeah, you're 5-5 now.
Okay. Very cool. Well, everyone's favorite part of the episode. If you could please leave a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify, that'd be very, very cool. On Spotify, you can leave a review. If you do, take a screenshot, send it to us. We will send you a free koozie if you give us our address, or on Spotify, whatever. Leave us 5-star rating. You can leave a comment on the episode too. That would be very cool. We did get a new review on Apple. First time in a hot minute. Very, very cool. Title, Great Pod, Go Pack, Go. So many O's, it might have been Goo. Maybe it's Go Pack, Goo. Anyways, review. Love the podcast and the in-depth analysis of Tucker Kraft every week. My brother recommended this pod a year ago as he lives in the Lynn Lake area and frequented the Lynn Lake Brewery, which I've gone to a couple times. That's where we watched them lose in the playoffs last year. I, of course, was suspicious of how... Oh, God, I cannot fucking read. I, of course, was suspicious as how could Minnesotans do a Packers pod. I immediately realized I was wrong to be suspicious. You guys are hilarious and have good analysis. Good, not great. We'll take it. This podcast is in my Packer listening rotation every week, in parentheses, William Tausch every day, of course. Interview with the defender of the wall was great and interesting inside information on what actually happened behind the scenes. Keep up the good work. Very cool. Very cool. I love, especially when you leave a big paragraph like that, I'm like, oh, they actually care.
Yeah, that's really nice. Thank you for the awesome review.
I forgot he emailed me too. I got to send him the koozie. Forgot his name, but very, very cool. Thank you. We also did have a comment on Spotify. It was just IR confused. The guy's name, and all he did was leave Venmo at csalter23. So he just left Chris Salter, the defender of the walls, Venmo, in case anyone wants to donate to the cause. I put out a tweet late last week. I wasn't able to get on social media earlier than that to do it, but I thought it was a good interview too. I think we said it last week too, but it was fun to hear the little things that happened behind the scenes and how he got out of it.
Chris was great, and like, yeah, he was fun to talk to. Amazing man cave. I'll never forget that man cave. It was the best.
One of the best days of our life, don't you think?
I think.
I'm glad he just agreed with me.
Yeah.
With that, I don't have anything else. Todd, I think you're going to have
prepare for the bye week. I might be preparing more than the Packers, to be honest.
Yeah, self-scouting perhaps. We'll have to look at our season preview predictions and see where those are at. That thing, we'll have to throw that in there. And maybe
that's a good point.
Maybe we'll have some special guests. Maybe some people from the poor man's Packers past will pop up. Lots of peas. Good thing I have this screen on the microphone.
Perfect.
With that, I don't have anything else. Todd, do you have anything else?
Nope.
Well, AJ Dillon, take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy, just watch. Howdy, well, I quit my job. Yeah, 'cause it just won't pay. I worked all year, I worked all month. Then they took my money.
Take news. Do you still play like the horse commercials and stuff?
No, we got the real ones now. It's tough to like edit everything and be like, okay, now. I think I did last year when you brought it up for like the secret audio. Oh yeah,
yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, you did.
But yeah, the horse commercial is the best. Even horses that can climb on rocks.
Horse, yeah, that's my favorite part. Horses that climb on rocks.
Spotted ones. Come on down and get you one. Yeah.
Chef Sterling, come make a cameo.
Shop early, save big, all month long during Black Friday Buildup at Lowe's. Right now, get select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at just $59.98. Don't wait to save. Shop these deals today, in-store or online. Because Lowe's knows deals. Discount taken at time of purchase while supplies last. Selection varies by location.